Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains, and today we're talking about esports and some sports betting updates and some ways to possibly invest in both of these growing markets. But before we do that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. So after the long 4th of July weekend, we're going to be taking a look, as I said, at some sports betting updates and esports updates as well. So that's today's episode. We're going to start with some news that came out last week that talking about the sports betting market in general. That's what kind of kicked me off to want to do this episode, and then dive into some esports news that broke last week, and then talk about the industry, because it's two markets that I've talked about on this podcast before, but not in some time. So I felt like it was a good way to kind of jump back in and do more of a overarching view of where both of these markets are at the moment. So New Jersey officially overtook Las Vegas as the U.S. sports betting capital, well, at least for a month. So last month, bettors wagered more in New Jersey than any other state in the country during May. So not last month, but May is the most recent results that came out last week. So New Jersey sports books took in $318.9 million in bets, and that was just $1.5 million more than Nevada. So not far and away, oh my gosh, New Jersey is taking over, but it's happened pretty quickly. It's only really been 12 months since legalized sports betting kind of has been at the forefront. So within 12 months, New Jersey has taken in more than $2.9 billion in sports bets, resulting in what is expected to be $200 million in revenue for multiple sports books. And then this is just going to be a quote from a New York Times piece about all of this New Jersey betting. So over the past year, New Jersey has in many ways asserted itself as the center of the sports betting universe, thanks largely to the Garden State's embrace of mobile technology. And this is a quote from Jamie Shea, who's the head of digital sports book operations at DraftKings, which is a fantasy sports company. And this was him telling the New York Times. He continued to say, "We have taken in over 20 million bets via mobile and paid out over $600 million in New Jersey alone." And so it's interesting to note that it said in this same article from the New York Times, the top four mobile betting locations for DraftKings have all been right along the Hudson River, right across from New York City. So it's kind of underscoring that people are just going across the river to take sports bets, because at the moment, companies like DraftKings allow sports betting on mobile devices, but it's geofenced, so you have to be within a certain geographic location. So people are just popping across, but that's going to change relatively soon, because at this point, a lot more states are going down that legalized sports betting path. And this is all happening after the U.S. Supreme Court in May of 2018 struck down the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, which opened up the floodgates for states to slowly roll out legalized sports betting, and New Jersey was the first state to push down these doors. So overall, we now have had six states since the beginning of May, which is Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Montana, New York, and Tennessee, all pass laws to legalize sports betting. So at the moment now, we have those six states and a total of 15 states plus DC where legalized sports betting is technically legal. Some of these six newer states don't have it in the offerings just yet, but that's where we are at this moment. There are now actually only seven states that haven't introduced some form of legislation to start legalized sports betting at some point soon. So that's how quickly this is all happening. Within roughly 12 months of the Supreme Court saying sports betting could be legal on a state-by-state basis, we have only seven states that haven't tried to get that process rolling. So overall, if sports betting was legal on a national level, it would generate what is expected to be $17 billion in annual revenue, with media companies making between $3 billion to $5 billion in additional revenue off of that legalized sports betting market. And this is according to a recent Wall Street Journal report. And then overall, as I mentioned, with how quickly this is all growing, the four major North American professional sports leagues have all gotten in on the action relatively quickly. The NFL has a partnership with Caesars, while the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL all have partnerships with MGM. And the NBA and a couple of the other leagues have also signed on other partnerships. The NBA has a deal with BetStars, or Stars Group. It's a Canadian-based company that is currently operating a license in New Jersey under its BetStars brand. And then it also has a deal with FanDuel, making it an authorized gaming operator for the NBA, and it's official daily fantasy partner. So overall, you have Major League Baseball with MGM, the NBA with MGM, BetStars, and FanDuel. The NHL has deals with MGM, FanDuel, and William Hill, and then so far as the NFL is with Caesars at the moment. And overall, there's a lot of companies that are standing to benefit from this legalized sports betting market. FanDuel, as we mentioned, which is owned by Paddy Power, Betfair. And then you have Caesars, MGM, William Hill, and then DraftKings, as we mentioned, FanDuel, Penn National Gaming, Churchill Downs, Boyd Gaming, Madison Square Garden. All of these companies have some sports betting operations at the moment, and as it grows on a state-by-state basis, they all stand to benefit, especially as mobile gaming rises. As we mentioned, FanDuel and DraftKings are seeing huge benefits from people being able to bet on their phones. That's really where the future of the industry itself is going to go, is live in-game sports betting from your cell phone, your smartphone. So that's where all these companies are hoping to make a lot of money now and in the future. Then there's also been speculation over the last year or so that social media and big tech companies like Facebook or Twitter or Google could all get into sports gambling in some way or another. It's unclear that they would actually open up their own sports betting divisions, but the idea is that their scale and their user base and access to all of this information would be great for gaming companies and advertising companies to all work together on the sports betting future. But what seems more likely is that maybe they invest or start a little spinoff that would be a sports gambling focused platform with their tech savvy businesses. But I doubt Facebook is going to now want to get into the gambling market, or Google, but who knows, since they are trying to kind of diversify their businesses now that government regulators are maybe eyeing a breakup more than ever before. And then in the meantime, as I mentioned, some of the big media companies are also getting involved. Walt Disney's ESPN has started airing a one-hour show on ESPN News that's geared just towards sports betting. It's called The Daily Wager. On top of that, Turner Sports, which is a part of AT&T and Warner Media, has struck a partnership with Caesars on something like this as well. Fox also has the idea of trying to do some of this stuff as well down the road. And then Bleacher Report, which is also owned by Warner Media, has some plans to do this all as well. And then we also have CBS Sports and Yahoo, which is owned by Verizon now, that are also trying to get into this sports betting market. So overall, it's growing quickly. It's happening. It seems like it's happening way faster than most people expected it to happen on a state-by-state basis. So it's a growing market that a lot of companies have a direct involvement and stand to benefit from. So it'll be fun to watch what happens over the next several years. And then in terms of another big potential market that's kind of in that same realm, it's sports-focused, mobile-focused, and that is esports. So we're going to do a little bit of an overview, and we talked recently on this show about how Google is planning to jump into the massive video game market with its own cloud gaming service later this year. We then dove into how Microsoft, which is already a big gaming company, its future plans in that soon-to-be massive cloud gaming market. But there was some news last week that struck me as interesting, and it's part of this growing esports market that has seemingly a lot of untapped potential at the moment. So Simon Property Group, which trades under the ticker SPG, is the largest mall owner in America. And it said it will invest $5 million in Allied Esports and will create lounges for competitive video gaming at malls throughout the country. It also then did a deal with a different company that's the company behind the augmented reality game Harry Potter Wizards Unite. I believe it's pronounced Nutanix, and that's going to be a kind of a similar where they're going to have people come into the shopping centers to play the game. And this is all happening as malls throughout America hit tough times in this Amazon world. So it's an interesting move for Simon Property Group. I mean, a $5 million investment is nothing huge for a massive, massive real estate company, but it's a way to get people in the doors. So a little bit more details. The two companies are said to launch an esports competition festival that they're going to call the Simon Cup, which will include some regional tournaments in malls in New York, in Los Angeles, and then there will be what they call the grand finale at the HyperX Esports Arena in Las Vegas at some point later this year. And then before I go any further, it's worth noting, since I haven't really said esports, for anyone who is a little unfamiliar, it's basically professional video gaming, and it's become hugely popular throughout the world. So esports revenues are projected to reach $1.1 billion in 2019, and that's up 27% from 2018, and this is according to market research firm Newzoo. And around 82% of that revenue is coming from media rights, advertising, and sponsorship, with the highest grossing individual segment of the esports revenue is expected to come from sponsorships. And then media rights is the fastest growing segment of that revenue for esports. And then overall, the global esports audience is projected to reach 454 million people worldwide in 2019, based on research from that same company. This would be 15% growth. And then for some perspective, more people prefer watching video games over Netflix, HBO, ESPN, and Hulu all combined. And this is based on data by Superdata Gaming Video Content. So that just puts in a little bit of perspective of how many people are big esports fans and just how wide this fan base is. And they're expected to... Half these people are what they call esports enthusiasts, and then the other are what they call occasional viewers, so not the hardcore esports fan. So even though you have 200 million hardcore fans of esports is good, and that's expected to be up 16% year over year. And it's become really popular in places like the United States, Europe, China, and South Korea, so some big growth markets there with lots of people that have disposable income, because that's really their target audience, and that's why it's been so attractive to advertisers. And then if we go by some Goldman Sachs updates and outlooks, they expect what they call to be, they call esports, they expect esports to be on par, quote unquote, with the NFL in terms of viewership by 2022. So that's the biggest sport in America maybe being eclipsed by professional video gaming within the next couple of years. And that might sound almost like a joke to people who haven't been paying attention to how quickly the video game and esports industry has grown, but it could be really the next global game on par with, say, basketball or soccer. I mean, they already have fans filling up 50,000 seat stadiums to watch these esports competitions, as I mentioned. Big media companies are diving in to broadcast this. Advertisers are getting a part of this. The Paris 2024 Olympic Organization Committee is reportedly in deep talks to consider including esports as a demonstration sport at the 2024 Olympic Games. Amazon, for instance, spent $1 billion to buy Twitch, which is a video game streaming platform where a lot of esports are played. And then overall, by 2022, this same company, Newzoo, is expecting the market to reach roughly $2 billion, with the high side being at around 3.2. So that's a lot of quick growth over the next several years. And then I kind of want to just close out with some companies that have exposure to this industry, whether it's a real like direct relationship or just a sponsorship relationship at the moment. So Coca-Cola, which is obviously a big sponsor of sports throughout the world, from soccer to basketball to the Olympics, they sponsored the Overwatch League, which is a competitive video game league launched by Activision Blizzard last year. So they're the official non-alcoholic beverage drink and sponsor of that league. Then you also have that same league making deals with Toyota, T-Mobile, HP, and Intel. So all those companies are directly involved in what most people would say the Overwatch League is probably the biggest and most comparable to what a traditional sort of North American professional sports league would look like. So that's look for that to grow. There's already owners who own big NFL teams and NBA teams that are directly involved with ownership in the esports world at the moment. Then you also have the big gaming companies, which is Electronic Arts, Activision Blizzard, Take-Two Interactive. And then you have companies on the chip side, such as NVIDIA, which is a leader in graphics chips that help make video games look more realistic and the gameplay not lag. So there's other chip makers involved, but NVIDIA, when that industry starts to turn around at the moment, is definitely a good play there in terms of a business that's directly involved with the video game industry. But overall, it's a huge market. This esports is going to play a big role in driving the growth of video games going forward. There are a lot of companies that stand to benefit and a lot of companies that are trying to get involved every day, it seems like. But overall, it'll be fun to watch the sports betting market continue to grow and pay attention to this esports rise as so many companies are trying to make money off what could be the next NFL, as crazy as that sounds. But until next time, that does it for this episode of Full Court Finance. I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.